As usual, well, I say as usual here lately, I'll be reading and studying something, and God lays something on my heart that I've heard and heard and heard before in the past. And like I told Brother Scott this morning, it seems like I had taken it for granted, and yet in my heart, I didn't want to be like that, because everything that God gives us is beautiful and wonderful. It's a gift. And even some of the smallest things that we might think are small, we hear over and over again, are really something. And that's what I want to bring to light this morning, at least it was for me. We all have heard, you know, we are redeemed. Jesus Christ, our Savior, has redeemed us from the curse of sin and death. Do we know actually exactly what that means? What does it mean? How is he our Redeemer? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. That's right. That's exactly what it is. And whenever I read that, I said, praise God. Because I used to think when I would hear it, I hear my dad talk about it and other preachers talk about it, you know, and it wasn't that I wanted to make light of it, but it was like this, I knew it was a special thing that Jesus had done. But it wasn't that he just bought us for a price. He bought us back for a price. And I want to read that. I'm going to do a lot of reading today, this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ruth. And this, I've read this story in this book about Ruth many, many times. I heard about it whenever I was in Sunday school and I was a child, a lot of times growing up. But it wasn't until I heard just here lately that it really meant, I mean, something to me. Because y'all heard my testimony, and, you know, I didn't live for God all my life. But yet he has been gracious and loving to me and allowed me to live all this time, most of it not doing his will, not living for him, and not even being born again, and staying out of his will, not going to church, not seeking him, not appreciating his word and his gifts and all that he did and what Jesus did for us. But I got to reading and studying this, and yet again, inside in my heart, I become overwhelmed with how much God loves us and what he has done for us and still doing for us. I'm going to start reading, I'm reading the King James Version. I may read a couple of verses in the Amplified for context, but mostly I'm reading the King James. It said, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. We're talking about Israel. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of this man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons, meaning Naomi, and her husband. Then she arose, talking about Naomi, with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread, and she was going to return back to Israel. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went out of the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each of your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, they lift up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb? And they may be your husbands. Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Now, Naomi had it wrong right there. I don't think she realized it at the time. She lost her husband, lost her sons, lost everything that she had in a foreign land. Now she's going to return home. And I like what it said, because it said when she heard that the Lord had visited his people, the Lord's on time. And now she says, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people. This is Naomi talking to Ruth. And unto her gods, return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. We talk a lot about faith and about the power of our words. But Ruth, when she said what she said to Naomi, then just spoke her future into her life. And why did she do it? In this first chapter, you see where Ruth is deciding, what is she going to do? She could have went back to everything that she was used to, that she had grown up with. But she decided to leave everything she knew, everything she had ever known, except for being married and having this mother-in-law. And now she was going to leave everything that she had ever known and go with her mother-in-law to a land that was very strange to her. She knew nothing about. I mean, can you imagine that? You're going to leave with not even a blood relative, but an in-law, and go live in a foreign country that you have no idea much what's going on. But she loved Naomi that much. She decided that she was going to keep loving her. And not only that, Naomi is an older woman. It don't say exactly how old she is, but she's an older woman. And Ruth is a younger woman. And I'm sure Ruth could see that Naomi might have needed taken care of. She doesn't have a husband. If you study back in biblical times, and we all know, the women were not, you know, nothing. They are something. They are of God. They are helpmate. But the men had most of the prestige, you might call it. A woman without a husband was kind of like, you know, lost, wandering around. Even if she had died, if the husband had died, in their culture, she was kind of, you know, at odds with the rest of the society. And even so, she's still going back, and Ruth's going to go with her. So she decides and makes her decision. When she says what she says, she locks in her future right then and there. And then she said, when she saw Naomi, that she, Ruth, was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, which actually means, translated into Amplified, means pleasant. But she said, call me Mara, which means bitter, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Once again, she's looking around at her circumstances, and she's got it wrong. She doesn't realize what the Lord's got in store for her. It's verse 20. She said, I went out full, 21, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, saying the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Saying, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, which with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. We'll go on to chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Now, I want you to notice in that verse, it says that she had this kinsman. And when you read on, you will see that she did not know she had this kinsman. She did not know that this person was a close kinsman of her husband. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she, Naomi, said unto her, "Go, my daughter." Now, I've never really looked it up, but I got to studying this. The word glean, when the way they harvested in Bible times, when they harvested some of the harvest, the fruit of the harvest, whatever they were harvesting, barley, grain, corn, the way they went about it, some of it would fall out on the ground. And they people would come around and glean it. They would gather it up. And you find out that the reason Ruth is doing this, you actually find it in Leviticus, I think it's 25. But the reason she's doing this is because the Lord set it up back in Leviticus. He told the people, do not, whenever you're reaping the harvest, do not pick up the glean. Leave it for strangers and for the needy, for the poor. He also said, don't harvest all the way to the edge of your field. Leave some of it. Leave a portion for the strangers and the needy. It's God's way of helping people. Nowadays they would call it a welfare system, but it's God's way of helping the people in need and keeping that system going. And the Israelites, whenever they got, you know, they were different classes of them just like they are us. If they was some in need, they could go to somebody's field as they was harvesting and pick up the leftover. Now you might think, well, that wouldn't be very much. To somebody that's got nothing, a little is a lot. When you're hungry, two or three bites mean something, if you're hungry enough. I hope, pray nobody in this building ever gets that hungry. I have been a few times, my own choice. Had to do with me. It's not fun. But that's what that means, and I didn't know that. And Ruth was asking Naomi, let me go to the field and glean ears of corn. Now, Ruth has went, since she's made her decision to stay with Naomi, she's now went from making that decision to serving. She's going out and trying to do what she can do to bring back something for them to eat. That's a loving heart. She doesn't have to do this. She goes and she asks Naomi about doing it. And Naomi said, go, my daughter. Now, if you'll notice in verse 2, it said, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. They still do not know about this Boaz close kinsman. So in verse 3, it says, and she, Ruth, went and came and gleaned in all the field after the reapers, or gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on part of a field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, people out there can hear my voice, this is not a coincidence. Not one whatsoever. God has used something that he set up. His plan years ago to put some plans in motion and use people he has chosen that has affected us even to this day. Excuse me. And will affect everybody from now on until Jesus comes back. And it says in verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto his reapers, the Lord be with thee, be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then Boaz said unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Talking about the young lady Ruth. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered, said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, she was asking him, he's telling her what she asked, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers amongst the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried in a little at the house. Meaning she worked from the morning to late in the evening and only stopped for a little while. Actually makes a little more It says in the Amplified, it said, and she said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from early morning until now, except when she rested a little in the house, in the field house, in the field. And it says, then Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Now you remember it said in verse 2 over there that Ruth asked Naomi, let me go glean in the fields. And she's saying, paraphrase, that I can find somebody that will find favor in me and help us. And this is where this is happening right now. Then Ruth fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully showed unto me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. And now thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not theretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Who has she placed her faith in? She told Naomi, my God, your God will be my God. There's so many parallels in this whole book to, I don't even know what to call it. I'm going to call it the plan of salvation that God has laid out for us and what Jesus did for us that I don't have enough time to catch every one of them. And if you think about it and read just a little scripture, it'll jump out at you. And Boaz answered, going back to verse 13. Then she, Ruth, said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, which I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young man, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. She has just moved, praise God, from rags to riches is the simplest way to put it, in her eyes. She's picking up what was left over, and now she's found favor. Why? Because she loved Naomi and decided to take care of Naomi and follow Naomi. The Bible doesn't tell us why Ruth decided to do this, but if I decided I'm going to follow somebody around, I'm going to have to like them some. If they've worshiped somebody I know nothing about, or we'll say God, because the Gentiles of the world don't know about God like the Israelite people know about God. They didn't serve God, but she's willing to learn how to serve their God. To her, it was a God, not the God. And she is finding out just how much of the God Naomi's a God is. And now, not only has she quit gathering in the fallen part and the leftover part, she gets to go right in the middle, where Boaz has got his people reaping his harvest out of his field. And whatever she gets, she can have. Because he said plainly right there, reproach her not. What she gets, she can have. That right there is enough to praise God. And when she was risen up to glean, and then it said, let fall some also of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley, which is about a bushel. For her and Naomi, at the time, that had been about 2 to 3 days worth of food for them. And she, Ruth, took it up and went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave it to her that she had reserved after she had sufficed. And her mother-in-law, Naomi, said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, This man's name whom I wrought today is Boaz. Now, that scripture right there tells me when Naomi seen what Ruth had and brought back, she's like, Goodness gracious, we've hit the jackpot. Where in the world did you do this at? Now, I'm paraphrasing. But that's exactly what's going on. And I think Ruth knows it's pretty good too. But Naomi knows this is something. This is awesome. So Ruth tells her, said, I was working in the field of Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of the next kinsmen. I will read that in Amplified. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not ceased his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said to her, The man is a near relative of ours, one who has the right to redeem. Now, you can also find this in Leviticus chapter 25. I can't remember if it's verse 15 or 25, but it's there. Just read the whole chapter. If somebody, there was two instances when a redeemer in the Israelites could come to happen. If somebody had gotten so poor that they just didn't have nothing, whatever their circumstances was, excuse me, somebody's that was next of kin could buy them back, buy back what they had lost. That's what it means to say this close kinsman has the right. No matter, excuse me. It could not be, somebody could help you. But whenever a redeemer, an Israelite, did this, it set you back up, so to speak. Got you from the bottom, got you started again. Like if they give one example, like they had a field for sale, and they couldn't sell it, then a redeemer would buy it, so that'd give them money. And then they get to start again. But it has to be a close kinsman. I don't know how close. In Leviticus, as it read, it says, if a brother has a widow and he dies, the brother dies and the widow's left, then another brother, a close relative, can come in and buy his land and redeem his portion and also take the widow to wife, to where the man's inheritance would not disappear. That's awesome. God set this up in the Old Testament when the Israelites come into their land. Matter of fact, when I was reading it, when I was telling you about the gleaning, the scripture before it said that God told him, said, This is my land, and you are foreigners sojourning here in my land. So this is what I want you to do, and this is one of the things. And so is this plan of redemption. Now, what God has set up to help people in their everyday lives comes on down through the ages. When I read that right there, man, it jumped out at me. One who has the right to redeem us. For born-again Christians, that can't be just anybody. Just like it can't be just anybody and everybody. For Ruth and Naomi. Let's read on a little further. Excuse me. I lose my place whenever I get excited. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he the Lord who hath not left off his kindness. I'm going to read this again because it just blesses me. Maybe it don't anybody else, but it does me. Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. What was Naomi saying earlier in the other chapters? Don't call me Naomi pleasant and blessed. Now she's saying blessed is the Lord. She sees now that she got it wrong. And she's saying, blessed be the Lord who does not leave off. And Naomi said to her, Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet, and that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and dealt with her mother-in-law. Now, I don't know how much time has passed through the harvest. Harvest probably takes a little while. In chapter 3 here, chapter 2, what I want everybody to keep in your mind is what we read in verse 20. The man is a near relative of ours, the one who has the right to redeem us. In chapter 3, we're going to read, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, Ruth, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou was? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Now, Naomi's realized something. Boaz is a redeemer. What I say the scripture said, they can buy back, like having a field to buy, or they can also raise a child in the widower, the dead man's name, to where his inheritance will not fall out of the family name. Well, what does that mean? Well, a redeemer, whenever he does the redeeming and buys back, he also takes the wife of the dead brother, and he raises up a child to where there'll be somebody that the dead man's people can send an inheritance to, because the dead man now has no more people to give an inheritance to because he has no sons. So this way, it keeps the family inheritance lineage firm and secure. And Naomi has realized this, and she's telling Ruth what to do. Everything she's telling Ruth what to do, I studied this for a long time last night. It is actually her telling Ruth, do these things in our ways and customs, and it will let him know that you're interested in him, you know, as a husband. So we read on. And she, Ruth, said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down to the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and there came softly, as she came softly, uncovered his feet, and laid her down. Meaning she laid down beside him, and it came past at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaiden. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaiden, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than in the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young man, whether poor or rich. Now he is giving her a blessing and favor right there. She didn't. Of course, she's doing what Naomi told her to do. But she could have went after, like he said, a younger guy, a richer guy, a man with more promise. I mean, when it comes to this redeem thing, the people's family that needs the redemption is the ones that have to initiate it. And right now, Boaz is not aware of what's going on until he sees what's happening. And he says, you came after me. You could have went after a younger guy, a richer guy, a better guy. So he's telling her, and now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Now Boaz knows and reveals it to her. But he tells her, he said, I can, but he said there's somebody closer relationship than me. And the way it's supposed to work, the closest relation was supposed to be the one to be the Redeemer. It's taking a lot more time than I thought it would. So Boaz sees this, but he wants to be the Redeemer. He has found favor in Ruth. In other words, he likes Ruth. He very well may be falling in love with her. But he has found favor. He likes her enough that he wants to, you know, seek out this marriage thing. But he tells her, I can't do this and be the Redeemer until I take care of this business. There's somebody that's closer. I've got to go talk to them. He said, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if they will, he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well. Let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning. She rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said to Ruth, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and he went into the city. And when she, Ruth, came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Now he's laying it on thick, so to speak. I mean, but God has worked this to where Ruth has found so much favor, and Boaz likes her so much that he just keeps putting gifts on her, keeps putting gifts on her. And he wants to be the Redeemer, but he's got to take care of this other thing first and see if the other person wants to be. And then Naomi told her, said, then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he has finished this day. In other words, he's not going to stop until he gets this business cleared up, one way or the other. Either he's going to be the Redeemer or he's not, and he's not going to rest until he gets it done. And Naomi can see by all the things that's happening for Ruth from Boaz that this is the reason why. In chapter 4, it said, then went Boaz took to the gate and set him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz came by. And to him he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi that is come again out of the country of Moab selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Amalek's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he, the guy that Boaz is talking to, says, I will redeem it, the closer kinsman. Now, without having a whole lot of time to study this, it was not, if the Redeemer did not want to do the redemption, he could choose not to, but there was a price to go with it. He would be shamed. There was a sign, and he would be shamed the rest of his life. So most everybody that could do it and would do it, if they possibly could at all, because it was like an honor. But there were some that would not do it, because in Leviticus it gives a scripture that if the Redeemer will not redeem, then this happens and this happens, and it's what it is shame and dishonor. So Boaz is telling him, you're the closer kin, the Redeemer. And the guy says, okay, I'll redeem it. Boaz, pretty smart, listen to this. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field in the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, I like the way the Amplified says it. In verse 5, it said, then Boaz says, the day you buy the field of Naomi, you must buy also Ruth the Moabitess, of the widow of the dead man to restore the name of the dead to his inheritance, meaning that you've got to marry her. Notice what the next verse says. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. He did not want to marry a woman that was not an Israelite and mar his inheritance. Now, from what I could study, the little time I had, he didn't have to, you know, that wasn't like a great big deal. He just, okay, I don't think I want to do it. I don't want to marry this woman from Moab. So now, guess what? Guess who's wide open to be the Redeemer? Boaz. Verse 7 says, now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to the neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore, when the closer kinsman said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, he pulled off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Imelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the land hand of Naomi. Also Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife to restore the name of the dead to his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his birthplace. You are witnesses this day. And all the people of the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah. These are two wives of Jacob. They give him the most sons. The two who built the household of Israel. May you do worthily and get wealth, power. Oh, I changed over. I didn't mean to read that. I'm reading in Amplified. I didn't mean to keep going to Amplified. That's verse 11. And verse 12, I'm going to go back to the King James Version. It says, let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he had went into her, the Lord gave her conception, she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, this is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, who is the father of David. And these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron, Hezron begat Ram, Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon. And we'll skip down. I'm going to skip down to verse 22, and it says, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. If you read in the first chapter of Matthew, the genealogy of the man Joseph, that the world seen as Jesus' earthly father, you'll find out that Boaz's dad's name was Salmon. Guess who he was married to? Rahab. And now, Boaz has become the Redeemer for Ruth, and they have a son, and call his name Obed. And he has a son, his name is Jesse. And he has a son, his name is David. Why is this significant? Because the lineage of the son of the house of David, the tribe of Judah, is where Jesus is prophesied. All of this taking place, I don't know, I'm going to say hundreds of years before Jesus came to the earth. I know it's been at least hundreds, because if you study, there's 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, timeline in the Bible. And this is way before Malachi, at least a while. Now, all that I read, I wanted to read, because I have read that story, those four chapters in the Bible, a lot in my life. And you might think, well, why in the world did, you know, the God put a love story? Because that's exactly what it is. It's a picture of the love story that God has for us. And you see with those scriptures, A redeemer must be a close relative, possess the right to redeem. A redeemer can buy or obtain back the ones in need, and he has the right to. And according to circumstances that we see, a redeemer can choose to be or not to be a redeemer. Now, how does that line up with Christ? Travis, you put Galatians 4, 4 through 7 up there. Save me some time. We ain't got much time left. Jesus is a close relative to us. How's that? He's a man like we're a man. And it says, but when the proper time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born subject to the regulations of the law, to purchase the freedom of, to ransom, to redeem, to atone for those who were subject to the law, that we might be adopted and have sonship conferred upon us and be recognized as God's sons. And because you really are his sons, God has sent the Holy Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And now, because he can be our redeemer because he is a man coming into this world, yet he has no sin. The law does not affect Jesus because he's not born under the dominion of sin as we were. We have an earthly mother and father. He has an earthly mother and a heavenly father. He is God. So he is not born under the law and the dominion and the curse of sin. And he did not commit sin, so therefore he can fulfill the law, because any other man can only live by the law. And the law condemns man, but the law cannot condemn Jesus. Jesus fulfilled it. That means Jesus said, I can do this. I'm a close kin. I can redeem. I can buy you back to the Father where you left from. Praise God. We pull up Colossians chapter 1, 12 through 14, please. These are the scriptures to back up what I'm saying. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified, made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. The Father has delivered and drawn to us himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, which means the forgiveness of sins. Amen, brother. Glory to God. From now on, whenever I say I am redeemed, I'm going to shout. Hallelujah. And then, the last thing is the redeemer can choose to be or not to be a redeemer. Galatians 3, 13 and 14, please, Travis. And we also know that we have heard it taught and preached and read. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, Lord, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He had a choice to make. And it says, Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse and the doom of the law and its condemnation by himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scripture, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. It means he was crucified. To the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, the blessing promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, so that we through faith might all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit. That means through faith we can be born again. And it happened in Acts chapter 10. It wasn't only for the Israelites. God showed Peter that the promise is also for those of faith, anyone who should believe. Romans 10:9 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus. That's all I got this morning. I know maybe to everybody else it ain't as exciting as it is to me. Praise God, I'm redeemed. I love that name. Thank you, Lord. We're recessed to 11. Nobody's got anything they want to say.